हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Adhikarna 7, the jiva is always dependent on the Paramatma. So now our Purva Paksha 2, the Pratibimbavad. The third option is as follows. Ignorance, along with the three gunas, takes shelter of Brahman. Ignorance with its shaktis of covering, avarna, and agitating, vikshepa, is called maya because of its skill. The reflection of consciousness, so pratibimba means reflection.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. In the covering shakti is the jiva. So that means that Brahman is there, maya is there, and then Brahman is reflecting onto maya, not the other way around. And so then that gets the jiva. Right, that's their idea. But it's been pointed out before that if you have something unlimited, where's the place where you can have it sitting there that you can get a reflection? If it's all pervading, it will be pervading whatever it's being reflected on, so there's no reflection. But in any case, they're happy with it. The reflection of consciousness and the agitating shakti is Ishwara. Okay, so you have the covering of Arna and agitating, Vikshepa. So they're saying that ignorance with its shaktis, means maya, that with the covering potency, that makes the jiva, and then the agitating potency, that makes the Ishwara. Wow, this is different from the other two. Huh?
This is the one which you say that avidya, which is the covering potency, will give you jiva, and then the agitating potency is maya, which will give you Ishwara.
Okay. Is that the same? Do we use the same words for covering and throwing, or no? We're not using
it. It's almost the same.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. But we're talking about, covering and throwing. But I guess throwing means something's going on, some action. So they're saying there's the covering of the jiva, so that ignorance, and then actions within that ignorance. Okay. The original object is perceived as a reflection of the original because it is fixed in the upadi and is non-different from the original object. So if it's non-different, then it would be Brahman, it would be transcendental, because Brahman can't be affected. That's the thing about Brahman, right? Identifying with the reflection in the upadi, Ishwara thinks, I create the universe. And the jiva thinks, I do not know this. In this explanation, there is no problem of Brahman relating to ignorance because Brahman is pure and self-manifesting. How is there no problem?
Because whatever is happening is because of maya. Brahman itself is not doing anything. If it is a reflection...
Oh, so it's a reflection, and so then the reflection identifies and all that.
So if there can be a problem in the mirror because of which the reflection is not clear. That doesn't mean the original person.
Okay. But then you have the thing is how is... Because the reflection we know is unconscious. If maya is unconscious, this is unconscious. Why would this be conscious and then able to do things on its own? And why would that upadi of Ishwara being able to control maya?
like it's controlling Maya, but being controlled by Maya.
At the same time.
Okay. There is Akshintya.
Yes, I see. But then you have the aspect of that Vishnu is never covered by Maya and he's above the modes, because the Shastras say that.
But
they don't. They just say that. They reinterpret that. Okay.
Poetic. What is that? Poetic alliteration.
I see. Could you say it in a very nice way in Sanskrit, you know, with all embellishments and everything, that I'm going to hit you in the head with a baseball bat or cricket bat or something? You know, sound very, very sweet. And nor one can say that the ignorance takes shelter only of itself, since Brahman remains distanced from its destructive nature. Oh, that ignorance takes shelter only of itself. But somehow or another it has a point that there's a reflection. Okay. It is like the darkness perceived by the owl in the noonday sun. He creates his own darkness. I think that's he closes his eyes, right? This ignorance maintains the existence of itself and other items. And it does not destroy the witness. Rather, it illuminates and reveals. Then why is it called ignorance? Functioning as means of proof. Creation, maintenance, and destruction with particular predominance of Rajas, Sattva, Tamas, because of the beginningless karmas of the Jiva, take place under the control of Ishwar in the presence of ignorance. So they're getting closer to a more complete picture, but their premise is so wrong that it's just like that. Uttara. The previous opinions are not correct. It is claimed that the duality consisting of jivas and matter is produced by ignorance from time without beginning, but that ignorance has no cause. This is like saying that the warmth of fire, which arises from its nature without any creating agent, no fire. One is forced to accept this theory because one refuses facts which should not be given up. One thinks that Brahman is not Shaktiman by its nature, and that there is no other object in existence except Brahman. Shakti is invariably connected with the Shaktiman. Thus, Shakti becomes an impossibility, like the sixth sense being intelligence, either marginally, naturally, or superimposed. Right, so if Shakti, there's no Shaktiman, so therefore there's Shakti, there can't be Shakti. So it's an impossibility that they come up with these different philosophies. One is forced to accept the Jiva as a reflection of the pure non-dual Brahman. Though it is claimed that Brahman is not the agent of that creation, Brahman is still the source of the Jiva's manifestation, since there cannot be a reflection without a connection with Brahman's unrestricted effulgence. Okay, so, because they're trying to say how Brahman is above everything and that, and doesn't get affected, but it's Brahman that's being reflected. So Brahman is involved, right, by their philosophy. They're trying to say, no, just as you have it's the person's there, there's the reflection. The reflection's doing everything. But the person's unaffected by that, what that is. But the point is the reflection is the original person. Like that. Because you see here is Brahman is consciousness, and here you have consciousness. So you're going to have to be dealing with the second thing. So the consciousness doesn't come from Maya, it has to come from Brahman. So Brahman's involved, according to their philosophy. So that's the problem. You can't have Brahman involved. And so simply by this giving up this point that Brahman is Shaktiman and there's Shaktis, because they want to say it's all one. At the same time, they're accepting that there's ignorance that comes from nowhere and it's the shelter of itself because it's not sheltered in Brahman, because Brahman has no qualities. And so it can't be there. But at the same time, they're saying there's only Brahman. So this is a very major contradiction in their approach. Yes.
So except for the Vaishnavas, everybody else approaches this like this even.
Yeah, the other schools also.
Other schools, other religions, schools. Everybody.
Yeah, it all comes from nature and all that, things like that. Yeah, it's just no one thinks fully through it. Like you even have in the contemporary, then you have that, you know, the Lord takes some mud and puts that together and makes Adam. And then he breathes life into it. So then that life is something that's separate from the earth. But at the same time is, then the idea is, if you ask them what's the soul, they'll say it's the body or it's the mind or it's the heart. No, but it was something breathed in by God separately. But there's this ignorance that covers, so they just don't see completely. So it's just, and because the ignorance works for them, because the point is it's not about self-realization, like we saw it before when we were discussing that the aspect of Lord Chaitanya's teaching Rupa Goswami, the self-realization means that you see yourself as the soul. And in that position, as servant of the Lord, you know, subservient to the Lord, that position is self-realization. But self-realization is not the goal. The goal is karma. You want to go to heaven. And what will you do in heaven? You'll have a good time. That's what it's all about. You know. So whether it's clouds or whether it's green embroidered couches or whatever it is, you know, it's, you know. So that's the point is that it's about karma. So we see is here is that the anamoya then is consciousness of the body, you know, meaning the senses, the activities, the senses. Right? Then the pranamoya, then basically it's mental speculation. On speculating how we can improve sense gratification, right? Then the jnanamoy or manamoy, then it's that aspect of yes, we're God is there, we're His servants, but it's about the conditioned nature. Otherwise, why are we burying the body? Because the body is very important in this, right? So then the whole point comes down to it's all about God is included. You're just pious enough to include God in your conception of karma. So God's part of your idea of religion. He's not. He himself is not religion. So it's not what does God say, that's what you do. It's what do we have to do to get what we want, which is to enjoy. And God says these things, so we'll follow them. You know, it's like rules on the instructions on a machine. You read the rules, you follow them, but it's not about that you're following the rules of the machine. It's about you're getting out of the machine what you want to get. Yes. Right? So we can see all these three levels of consciousness are based on conditioning. Yes. So that's why the Dharma Artha Kama, it's about conditioning. Yes. Right? So sadhana, then you have the vijnanamaya, that's about knowledge. Right, it has the elements. It has, you know, you can say it is an extension of pure knowledge of Anandamaya about the relationship with the Lord and the living entities. But because of the desire, if there's a desire for liberation, then it again takes on the mundane aspect. It may not be conditioned; it may be an unconditioned, but it's still material. Right. So therefore. In sadhana bhakti, you know, when one's situated in the vijnana maya, you're trying to use this knowledge to elevate yourself out of the material consciousness. Right? Like that. And get to the natural position of the soul. So that being the motive, then you see is then you can see the picture clearly because you have pure knowledge. So even these on vijnana maya, even though they're very intelligent, it's still material knowledge. And with material knowledge, you can't know the Lord. So that's why in this, they talk about Brahman. They say their goal is Brahman, but they actually really don't know that much about Brahman other than unlimited and unchanging. That's it. And so since that's all they can understand, then they claim that that's all there is. And so then all other phenomena, they have to try to work out by their mundane speculation. You know? And because when you speculate, you can get so many ways of doing something. You know, it's just like any one activity, you can do it in so many ways. Let's say you have one preparation. Mm-hmm. 10 people will do it in 10 different ways. Mm-hmm. So in the same way as these philosophies, they'll come up. So there'll be so many philosophies, but these three have kind of stood the test of time. Yes. They've been able to actually answer objections to them. Mm-hmm. All right? So that means they'll defeat all other mundane schools of impersonalism. But they can't maintain themselves in context with the Vaishnava understanding, because that's pure knowledge. So otherwise, then Vijnanamoya is still not pure knowledge, because pure knowledge is only pure if it's connected to proper Sambandha Gyan. So that's the point, is this Vijnanamoya, it can be used either materially or spiritually. Right? Materially means you're going for liberation. Spiritually means you're going for devotion, pure devotional service. Yeah? Yes?
Also, we see that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the mundane goes up till the level of that manomaya,
yes.
And then the spiritual, it comes down up till the level of manomaya. So that aparoksha level.
Yes. That's because it's a hokshija.
Yeah.
Means at Hokshija, he's coming down too. Mm-hmm. But he can also extend down to there because you're using the activities of Manomaya to support your sadhana. Because you can just sit down and chant Hare Krishna and that's all you do. But as you add in more elements of religious elements to engage yourself, and maintain yourself, then those are coming from that platform of Manomaya. But because you've connected them to the Lord, then they take on that spiritual nature, because the Vijnanamaya platform you're connecting to the Anandamaya. So Aprakrita is entering at Hokshija, and Hokshija can extend down to the Manamaya, to the Dharma, religion. So that means Artha and Kama, you have to connect back to religion. They don't connect themselves. So that's why this idea is we don't need to follow, any of these religious processes given by the Vedas. We can just follow whatever is our whimsical processes that we accept, from the Western environment. The problem is unless you connect them back up to there, how do you get them up higher? Because there are no at that higher level, you don't have upadis. But if you're starting with the premise of upadis, then how does it connect to religion? And two, how does it connect up? So there is no logical connection. But because of our own attachment that we want something, it sounds nice, therefore we're willing to let it go. Just like, let's say, you have a friend. They do something wrong, you're willing to understand. But someone who's not a friend does exactly the same thing. Oh, we're strong at heart as the thunderbolt. So that's all. It's just that it has that mundane attachment, these coverings, being covered and all that. So we don't see it. The upadi, we take it, it's us. Well, it's not us. These are all species that are in the universal form. Malechas have always been there. Yavanas have always been there. So it's not that it's a new thing, that we are the preeminent and pinnacle of malecha-ness. No, they've always been there. As far as things go, Adam and Eve are much better malechas because everybody still talks about them today. And anybody today, they may talk about them today, but as soon as they're gone, is anyone talking about it? Is Stephen Hawking in the news anymore? No, he's dead. Who cares? And that was just a few years ago. But these guys have been around for a few thousand, so at least they're, these are top quality malechas. Yes.
Also, we see that that reflection, the positive side is the adokshaja and then aprakrita, and the negative side is the
paroksha and pratyaksha.
Paroksha and pratyaksha. That's why, those who are from artha, you can connect to Vijnanamaya, because artha is like you consider your material benefit, and
But it's not considering what are God's rules.
Yes.
So that's what we're saying is that we have to be careful that the Veda is giving God's rules. And then of that, because there's so many rules that connect everybody, whatever the situation, we take those ones that the Acharyas give. Just like there are rules for those who are breaking the four regulative principles, how they can regulate that according to the Veda. But those ones aren't used by us because we're interested in spiritual. We're interested in Anandamaya. So in our sadhana, we don't use them. Because other sadhana is on much lower level. Right? So therefore, when we say, oh, that Veda, we don't accept the Vedas. No, we accept what the Acharyas give us. That for us is Veda. You know? It's just like that song, that, who's that? Narottam Das Thakur about Sri Rupa Manjari Pada?
Yes.
Yeah, and in there he's saying, you know, whatever he speaks, that's Veda for me. That's the life. That's the soul. That's everything like this. And so that's there, what they give us, that's our hermeneutics. But to use some modern academic hermeneutics to put these aside, or even less than that, just our own attachments, our own so-called logic, whatever's happening, you know, up to date in the internet, you know, just people's opinions, all that kind of stuff, then how does that God have to do with anything? How can that be connected? Because we're not connecting to God's laws. How can we connect that up to the spiritual and that to the transcendental? We're just taking it, no, as I am, then God will accept that. But that's, you know, that's saying that we create religion. When religion comes from Krishna, he creates how it works. We can say, oh, it works like this and it works like that. But it doesn't. Just because it's our opinion and a lot of people have that opinion doesn't make it right. You know?
So that's why it's always very easy to get tricked by, like for example, the modern scientists and all who, at least for themselves, they think they are not caring for the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
They easily tend to accept this Advaita Vedanta, which is seemingly trying about the jiva. But the normal person who is mostly on the Annamaya level, he can connect to, like, no, if the other one, the Adokshita, will make more sense. I mean, the final level will make more sense to him because it's the opposite reflection. But unless,
it's going the other way. Because once Dharmartha Kama is going down, and then the moksha and sadharma are going up. And so the point is, the central point of religion is the same. You follow the religion, then artha and kama come. But you follow the same religion to express spiritual and transcendental.
So that's why when we are not careful, then we may just drop from that philosophy back to...
Yeah, because we don't know what's dharma. The whole point is as Bhavishu Purana mentions, that Lord Jesus, then he practiced dharma, but taught sub-dharma. Right? Because it was just about be good, be nice, don't kill each other, you know, turn the other cheek and all that kind of stuff. But he was trying to teach bhakti. But the point is, you know, as it was, they were fighting amongst themselves anyway. So let it just be nice. Come on, calm down, kids. You know, here. You know, so it's you can't go. How do you go beyond that? Yeah. So that's the thing. You can have the sentiment, and that's nice. There has to be faith. But the point is that faith has to be applied through knowledge that you can practically apply and come to conclusion. So if you just say faith is enough, then how are you going to apply the faith? That's like saying, yes, you have cooking skill, that's enough. You know, you don't have to apply it. Just have faith in your cooking skill. Yeah, but what about you doing cooking? No, you don't have to cook. You just have to have faith in cooking. You know, then no one's going to eat. So...
Coming to the original discussion, we face the same two problems, that the Maya is self-sufficient, like completely independent, according to to their description.
Yes, yes.
And they don't discriminate between secondary and primary creation. Mm. Basically, they deal within secondary, and then the whole process is there. But who is beyond, they basically don't care.
No, they don't care, because these things are only there enough that it gives some meaning to us. It's just like you only say as much as needs to be said that the person accepts. So only if someone argues with this, then they'll think about it and try to work it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so like you're saying, Pranamoya preaches no cooking. But then they offer you fast food, they offer you restaurants, they offer you... So this is business. This is how they make their money.
Yeah, but cooking's going on, but it has to be in the context of business. It can't be in the context of religion. You know, that cooking is a lower element, and we're of a superior, so we don't cook in the house, because we're professionals. But at the same time, as then you have professionals that cook. But by that, they're of a lower nature. But at the same time, we're saying everybody's equal. So therefore, that means the guy in the back, you know, that's cooking and all that, is equal with you sitting out in the restaurant eating. At the same time, at least, I don't know if it goes anywhere else in the world, but in America, you have a saying, the customer is always right?
Yeah, every way.
Okay. You know? And depending upon who you are, and if your name starts with a K, then you're going to try to establish that, your authority and your superiority. You know? So that's it's so inconsistent, all these things. Because they'll say, oh, this is not necessary, though every humans eat cooked food. Right? Even you say it's raw food. Like that, but you know, that all the ingredients, they've been processed to some degree. It means, you know, they don't just take a branch broken off the tree and then dump that on your salad. No, they take off all those leaves and then you get your spices. You know, they don't just take a rock and stick it on top as this salt, or they don't just throw a bunch of unprocessed olives on top. You know, with the stick sticking out. You know, no, it has to be taken and this and then squeeze it and so many things, and all these things have to be done. So there's going on. Even someone's eating raw, it's still been processed so that a human being can eat it. Well, the animals will just go up and eat the olives straight off the tree along with the leaves. So, you know, all they do is eat salad. But they eat the real natural salad, right, you know. So that's the thing, is humans mean they eat cooked food. Right? So the important thing is it's offered to Krishna. They eat the remnants of sacrifice. That's the point. So when we fight over if we cook or not, that's just we're fighting over whether we're human or not. So if we're fighting over whether we follow the rules of God or not, we're simply saying is that no, we can be animals. And since we're all equal in the eyes of God, therefore me being an animal and not following God's laws, and you following God's laws, which is actually of an inferior position, because being an animal is much more natural and you know, complete and accommodating, because you see, more people are doing it. Like, there's more animals on the planet than there are humans, so actually the animal lifestyle is actually a much more natural and you know, broad, accommodating lifestyle. And so, therefore, we're trying to equate it with that, but the point is the animals have fallen because of the direction and the modes of nature, but we're not following that either. We're being controlled by the modes, but we're not doing human things. Humans means yajna. Human means sacrifice. Animal means you do whatever you like. So if it's based simply on what you want, that's animal. If it starts with shastra and then which aspects of shastra apply to you, that's human. and then do those duties. So we see is that depending upon the level of consciousness, we're just, means if you're taking anamoy, if it's good for the senses, it's accepted. Right? If you pranamoy, it's good for the senses, but it also doesn't disturb anybody else's senses.
Yes.
It means do what you like as long as it doesn't disturb anyone else. You know, so basically in your home, do what you like, but when you walk out the door, you have to do things that's not going to bother other people. Still is based on sense gratification. Manamoy, then, no, you have to be, you know, have that element of following the God's laws. But it can be following God's laws for your own materialistic purpose. Then you go to Vijnanamoy, then you're following these God's laws simply for liberation. You understand the soul and this and that, so you want liberation. But it's not so still so much about God. God's included, but not really, just like in karma, it's not really included. So therefore, bhakti is transcendental to all that. Bhakti gives bhakti. Like, so let's say someone is doing karma, it's by the power of bhakti that karma can give the results. But the results are coming from karma, not from bhakti. Just like same ways with jnana, bhakti gives that potency to jnana to work. The results coming from that are coming from jnana, not from bhakti. Bhakti gives pure knowledge, pure understanding of our relationship with the Lord. That's coming from bhakti. So bhakti gives bhakti. You know, so all these other processes can't work without bhakti. So that's why if they follow the rules given in the Shastra, they're getting some ajñāta sukriti. Because they're using some bhakti to make the karma jnana work. But it's very, very slow. How many lifetimes it'll take? Like that. While if you come in contact with the devotees, then you're dealing with pure knowledge. So then you understand. So now the karma and jnana are being engaged as servants of bhakti. And so you're getting the results of bhakti. And then whatever results come externally, that we're not so worried about. We know we're trying to get something nice, arranged nice for Krishna. But the point is we're arranging a nice facilities for Krishna. And we take those remnants, and so then everything works nice. It's a matter of switching the consciousness. Yes?
So some times ago we discussed that three among five's level of consciousness, they are fixed. The first, the third, and the fifth.
Yes.
And then the second and the fourth, they're basically extensions from the higher or from the lower.
Yes.
Is that?
Yes, basically, like you can see from pranamoy, someone can very easily go down to anamoy.
Right.
But at the same time, as you can get people from there to see that there's higher laws and all that, and they could move up to manamoy. But to stay there and to get the taste there, it doesn't really give satisfaction, as we see in the contemporary society. The muddha is satisfied because he's getting a sense gratification like that, and he's okay. And the religious person is basically satisfied like that. But the ones in the middle, that they're just going more and more. No matter how much they have, it doesn't matter. Like that. And then when you have the Vijnanamaya, then that's going to either you move up to Anandamaya or you fall down to Manamoy. Like you see, is that they say these so-called spiritualists, then they fall down to philanthropic work, doing good work and all that. You know, like that. And that they can keep going if they have faith in the Vedic, then they may stay there, but otherwise then they'll even drop down lower. So you can say those are solid positions because you have the it's been a while. You know, about the three kinds of rasa? Partiva, so that's the anamoya. Swargya. Then that's going to be the manamoy. You know, you're following the rules and everything. It's based on your duties, and therefore it's more that has its effect is in the mind. It means the effect is in the mind. The other one, you're using the mind. The effect is in the senses. So pranamoy, you're using the mind, but the effect is in the senses.
Yeah.
Right? While in Manomoy, you're using the senses, the effect is in the mind. Mm-hmm. Like that. So does that make sense? So therefore you can say is that the levels of the sensual knowledge, the moral knowledge, and the knowledge of God, these ones are dealing on the body, mind, and how you say? That. Then, but it's only when you go up to Vijnanamoy, now you're bringing in actually the soul and the intelligence. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. But you can use that to either go up to the Vaishnava platform or down. Because, you know, it's a cycle. Generally from moksha, they fall down into dharma. From that into artha, kama, they get so burnt out, then they go from moksha. And then from no taste there, they fall down into artha, you know, like this. It just keeps going like that. You know, and then when that doesn't work for you, then you go into Buddhism. When that doesn't work, you again go back. Then you just start down at the senses, and then you go, you know. That's the field. You can't go outside of that.
This also perfectly explains, because the Bhagavatam mentioned that Adokshaja is a natural position of Tathasta as a jiva.
Mm-hmm.
But then it being unstable by nature, it has that tendency to go down or to go up.
Yes.
So even from that point of view, because I was trying to explain the third canto, but devotees can't care, it's too subtle, you know, how that transition happens. But also in the story of the four Kumaras, it is mentioned, I think Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, comments that they were on their higher level of mana maya, and when they realized the Lord in his personal feature, then they came up to Vijnana Maya. They weren't there before that. So that also shifts the gears a little bit to that side.
Because you're going to say Vijnana Maya, devotees are actually situated there, sadhana bhaktas.
Yeah.
Impersonalists and that, they're using that technique, but actually what they're trying to get are this and that. You can say is they're going for liberation, but at the same time you also see is that they're very happy with all the respect they get and doing all philanthropic work, like I mentioned before, is that the Kamakotipitam, the Acharya now, the one before him. I think now it's Jayatirtha, before it was Jayendratirtha or something. Then he, something happened, and then he freaked out. So he just disappeared for like 3 weeks. And then, I think people look for him, this and that, and then when he came back, so it looks like everything's normal, then he comes back with this whole new like idea for this trust or fund or something, where they do all these nice, good works. You know, what exactly works, I don't know, but it was some kind of good works and all that. But that could have been those good works, that could have been Jayalalita's money, right? Okay.
He was hiding Jayalalita's money.
Yeah, and then he just used it. Okay, so he used that and that, so he just went down to that philanthropic kind of point. And you see others, they're very happy, they go on the elephants, they're the Jagat Guru and all this and that. So how are they actually functioning on Vijnanamoy? They may be using the method, just like scientists are using that intellectual method. But they're using it on Anamoy. While here, then these great, they're using it on generally on Manomoy, sometimes Pranamoy. Like that. So you can use any platform anywhere else. You know, just like we engage the senses in the Lord's service. So it's karma yoga. But then that means is that Manomoy includes the artha and kama. So by doing that, then you connect it up to Udhoksaja, to the Lord. Yes?
Also, Vijnanamai means then you understand Chitta, Chitishwara, all three. Like, you know, they may understand Chit like the soul and then he's conscious, etc. But this last adhikarana where he's a subservient of Paramatma, unless one understands that, then he's not at the...
Not actually at that point.
So when the Kumaras came and when they saw the Supreme Lord, that's when they felt like, we know the bliss, Brahman, but here the intensity of that Brahman is such great that we are not able to see whether to see his feet first, his face first. So this is intense Brahman, that means he is Vibhu, and then we are all Anu, just everything is Anu. So that's where the realization of Paramatma.
That there's a difference, okay. So there's realization of the Paramatma.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because it's always, you have your major stations, but then as you get down, because these stations, if we're saying these five levels of consciousness cover all consciousness, then that means within them there has to be all these fine points and how one moves into the other or how you might have mixes. Like you see, it's like we were saying the drum. You can have this, that, or a mix. You know, it's either all facial, it's all the hands and that, or it's a mix. So then that's just, that it just gets more and more sophisticated. That's the point, is that the Vedic is so simple, but it's so sophisticated.
Also, as philosophy, we categorize them in Vijnanamaya because they are discussing about Chitta Chitishvara.
And they're also going for liberation.
Yeah. So.
Yes, but otherwise, technically, they're not. But, you know, it's still within the mundane aspect of it. So you have the natural, the position where it's connected to pure goodness, pure knowledge, or you have the position where it's not, it's connected to impure knowledge of liberation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, just like the devotee may not be so, he's situated in karma yoga, but it's connection with the Lord. So that's where adhoksija extends down to aparoksha, you know, to that platform there. So then, you know, everything is connected. But our focus is on my conditioning and its connection to Krishna. But because it's actually connecting to Krishna through pure knowledge, therefore you get that effect of pure knowledge. You know, to that degree of appreciation. But they may be using the same technique, but it's not. Just like we cook, you know, to please Krishna, and someone else cooks the exact same thing, same techniques, but not to please Krishna. The effects you get are totally opposite. So just because that they're using the Vijnanamaya doesn't mean that they're actually getting the effect of it. Because tatasta means you're in between, but they're actually inimical towards. So they're not actually in between. They're already on the lower side. They may be above, they may be not conditioned, but they're still controlled by the desire to control and enjoy. You know? So it's just the other side. So they're just the other side of the virajas, you know. So it's like, you know, they may be there against the viraja with their face, you know, smooshed against it, but that's as far as they're gonna get. Does that make sense? Just imagining all those Maya bodies all pressed against their... No. That's if they're lucky. Generally it says they'll go to hell, so... And also, I think they don't even get the benefit of the bucket. So very austere, very dry, and they don't enjoy the ride. Tough. So better to be a devotee. Is that good? Yeah. Okay. Brahman is still the source of Jiva's manifestation, since there cannot be a reflection without a connection with Brahman's unrestricted effulgence. So you couldn't get the Jivas unless it's connected with Brahman, because they're trying to say, oh, it has nothing to do with Brahman, it's just a reflection. But then Maya is supporting itself, and then Brahman is reflecting off of that, but Brahman's not actually the reflection. And then that reflection then takes on jivas and Ishwara. So it's thought out enough that it sounds all right to the conditioned mind, but not actually enough that it actually makes sense. Brahman is perfect. The jiva manifests as its reflection by a relationship with ignorance. With the appearance of the jiva, the relationship of ignorance with Brahman is established because of mutual dependence. The jiva, whose swarup is actually Brahman, creates the relationship with ignorance. Brahman becomes like the owl who sees darkness during the day. When entering into ignorance, Brahman transforms into the jiva, and Ishwara, by useless creation and upadi, degenerate them. By such theories, one can see ignorance even in someone with knowledge. So you see, they're so intelligent, but they're in ignorance. And these are, the ones who do that. Just like the scientists, they're so intelligent, but they're completely in ignorance. Right? So you're saying that Brahman's going to go into this. So it's Brahman that is the owl. So Brahman has to be the one transformed. So it's just, it doesn't work. And you're adding into this upadi. Where do these upadis come from? So they will use elements, proper elements of the philosophy, they'll just misuse them. Yes?
All these arguments they are giving, do they have some spiritual reference, or just for sake of argument they are step?
They'll probably have some scriptural reference that, today's Monday and it's before breakfast, and therefore Brahman has reflected. Who knows? They'll take something from the Shastra. Anything that says oneness, they'll take that. But anything that says how the Lord is an independent person, and then there's the jiva, and they're both eternal, those parts then they'll interpret. Yes?
When we were in school, then on the blackboard, teacher writes something with a chalk. And then when the teacher goes away in the free time, what we used to do is we rub between the whole sentence some words in order to give out a different meaning.
Mm.
You rub, like, within the letters also, you give space, and then you read, it gives complete some funny meaning.
Mm.
My mothers are doing that.
Yes.
They are reading it. It's Shastra. It's like what the teacher wrote.
Yeah,
on
but
the
they're
board.
Coming up with a different understanding. Sure. This condition cannot exist in Brahman, which is supposed to be knowledge alone. Since it would be extremely contradictory, how Brahman is going to be covered by ignorance here to become the jiva or Ishwara. Right? Because if it's reflecting, it has to be involved in the process. It cannot be compared to the illusion of water in the desert, since one cannot see a reflection in a fictional upadi. Right? Because if you say it's like water in the desert, they'll say like that, it's not actually there. But the point is Then if it's not there, how can you get a reflection? How do you get a reflection off of something that's not there? There has to be something there for it to reflect. This is even separate from it's all pervading, so therefore you can't have a reflection. We're just taking, even if you wanted a reflection, you have to have something real to reflect off of. But Maya's illusion, Jiva's illusion, Ishwara's illusion, so there isn't anything there, so there's only Brahman. So then how do you get this reflection? Why do you have these philosophies, and why are you talking? The cloud appears to be the size of a hand or forearm from a distance. The perception of its reflection is not impossible when the cloud meets the rays of the sun. By accepting the localized limb of the cloud. But Brahman cannot be reflected since it is without limbs or form. It is absolutely impossible to define the upadi. But if something doesn't have any limbs, it's just all pervading, how would you say that its reflection has these limbs? You have a head, you have arms, it has the intelligence, it has all these different things, it has activities. But if it's a reflection, where did those come from? If you say it's a bifurcation, where did that come from? If you say it's a shadow, where did it come from? Right? Because in all of them, there's a body. So where does that come from if Brahman has no limbs or form? An entity whose body is conscious cannot produce a reflection of a body. Consciousness, right? Means if you're saying they're just consciousness, how can they reflect and you get a form? If you say it's formless, how does it reflect and get a form? Because you say it reflects on there, but it's formless. So where would the reflection be? Let us accept the proposition. There is a destruction of a body which creates an object. Jiva.
You missed one paragraph.
You did? Oh. When a reflection of a face is seen, there's a separate seer. Who is the seer when Jiva or Ishwar become reflected? Like, who's seeing that? Like, that if we're here and we're reflections, who's seeing this? Because if we don't exist, how is it we're seeing and we're doing and we're, and it's important, it's about us. So who is the seer? This type of unsuitable situation arises. You know, so I guess that's where you get the ekajiva bod. Is that they're seeing. But then who's the one? You know, so that we're all just part of a, what do you call it? Those, in the video game they have those individuals who aren't playing the game, they're just part of the game. Inherent part of the game. Means they're non-something. They have some initials that they are in the game and they just stand on the corner and get run over by the truck or, you know, like that. It's just every day it does the same thing. Every time you play, there's always these kind of people. Right? They only do the same thing. It's set by the computer. Like that. So that means everybody's that, and so then who's that? Then what does it matter? Yes.
Also, it's interesting. Although Brahman is supreme, action happens in Maya between those, you know, Ishvara and the Jiva, and he's just passive. So what's the fun to go back to Brahman?
There's nothing going on.
Yeah, it's a completely passive entity or element or whatever it is.
Well, here it's also, you see, is that the drive is pessimism. Because they've tried to enjoy in the world and they're not enjoying, so then you want to get rid of everything. You take on that destructive. That's why even though it's using knowledge, its actually basis is ignorance or destruction. And you see when you take that to extreme, you get the Buddhism, where there's just nothing. You just want nothing left. The other is you destroy everything else and then you'll be left as Brahman. But here it's just, you just destroy everything. So that's why we can say they're in ignorance, even though they're so intelligent. Right? And so then the karmis, they're in passion. So technically, in one sense, they're in a higher position, because from there, they're willing to do activity. You can connect that to the Lord and take it through. But for the mayavadis, it's just destruction. And so then there's nothing to take through. They get attached to the idea of there's nothing, you're not going to do anything. And so, like you say, you're going to go back to nothingness. So for them, because of dissatisfaction, then they come up to here. If there's a little dissatisfaction, it'll be the impersonalism. More than you have the Mayavad, more you'll have the Buddhism. So the more anger you add, then the worse it gets. You know, and even in Buddhism, you have four stages. You know, how you say? Angry, more angry, really angry, and totally angry. You know, absolutely angry, you know. So, that's why I have that Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha. So the Raga will be the Karmi, the Bhaya, the fear, will be the impersonalist. And the anger, that will be the Buddhism, voidism. One does not see proper conditions for creating or even destroying the upadhi or for the reflected object. Since there can be no destruction of ignorance in the form of upadhi by the knowledge produced by a jiva who is produced of ignorance. So he's from ignorance. How is he going to produce the knowledge to get rid of this ignorance? And he's a reflection anyway. So it has nothing to do with him. It's Brahman who's been reflected. And so it has. Why would he think that I can do something and remove this? Right? Does that make sense? So the conditions aren't there to do that. You know, it's just like you're looking in the mirror. How would the reflection in the mirror go about performing some kind of sadhana to get rid of itself so then all there is left is you? But it doesn't mean that that reflection becomes you. You know, it already was you in the beginning. You just get rid of that. But how would the reflection do that? Because it's not substance. So only substance could have consciousness and knowledge to bring to substance. Ignorance and cannot and you know, upadhi. How do you get rid of that? So, yeah. Let us accept the proposition. There is a destruction of upadhi which creates an object, jiva. Since it is separate entity acting as the basis, there is a perception in the reflection of a different entity. For the reversed image appears in the reflection, and the original object is undisturbed when the reflection is disturbed. Right? So that means you have the tree and you have the water, and in the reflection, the water can be moving, so the tree is agitated, but the original tree is not. Right? That's the thing that they're trying to use. The reflected image is also seen by people who do not see the original image. When the mirror is absent, the reflected image, the jiva, is destroyed, since it only arises when reflected from a pure surface. Jiva's destruction becomes its liberation. In the proposition, Ishvara has eternal knowledge and jiva thinks, I do not know, without beginning. But, yeah. At the same time, to propose Ishvara's form as a reflection is unsuitable, since it is not logical to make Ishvara by relating jiva with the portion of ignorance which causes agitation, vikshepa. So how would jiva have eternal knowledge? I mean, Ishvara have eternal knowledge if Ishvara is coming from the basis that it's a reflection on ignorance? Because the whole point is this, it's just a different form. It's the agitated ignorance instead of the covered ignorance. But it's all ignorance. It's all avidya. So you can't. It just wouldn't work. And to say that both jiva and Ishvara have their limiting upadhis is a contradiction to Shruti's statements that Ishvara dwells within everything. Right. So Ishvara, you know, is everywhere in everything, all pervading. So then, how would that work? Yes.
We see the same thing. Like somebody is very superior to you. First of all, we try to prove I am equal to him.
Yes.
If we cannot prove that, then he is equal to. He is also conditioned as like he has also lower nature, so that level we are equal. So first you try that jiva is Brahman. Otherwise, then Brahman is like at the level of Ishvara, which is like jiva only, the same thing.
Yeah, no, it's standard. Like even in karma, you'll do that.
Yes.
My activities are the same, as good as anybody else's activities. And if that's not accepted, then all these other activities aren't that good. You know, everybody said, oh, well, actually, it's not really Vedic and all that. So if it's not Vedic, it doesn't matter. So therefore, what I'm doing is the important thing. It's the same principle. Is you try to make yourself equal so you can control and therefore you can enjoy. It's the same basis of conditioning.
I think in the all four Vaishnava philosophies, this is the points that are focused, like the first one, jiva and the Brahman, what is the difference in the sense of like, no, the Vishishtadvaita focuses that Brahman is the one which has Shaktis and the jiva doesn't have. That's why it's Vishishta. And the Shuddhadvaita is the Ishvara, which they talk, he is beyond, he's not controlled by Maya, the Ishvara which they are talking about. And the Dvaita is one which discusses that there is a difference, huge difference between the jiva and Brahman, because having established that Brahman has Shaktis, now you can discuss on the level of Dvaita. Mm. And then Veda is, then you bring both together. And, so, just trying to dismiss their argument.
Yes, from the different angles, because they come up with so many angles, so many angles. Because if you take one point and just continue at that, then anything improper can be adjusted. You know, like Prabhupada would take, you know, like you see in an argument, he'll take one point and then he'll discuss that. They'll try to move to something else. No, unless this is cleared, how do you move to that next point? So then they'll have their focal point.
And having understood all those, then we can establish the Achintya Veda Veda, because people already know those concepts after 200 years of banging and each point.
There's also the possibility of one reflection from two upadis, mixing with each other like milk and water. The world as a reflection may be caused not by one upadi of ignorance, but by many upadis. If Ishwar is a reflection of Maya and lacks its own internal Shakti, it cannot be produced or function without Maya's control. Right? Because they're trying to say that Ishwar is controlling Maya, but at the same time, as you know, here is saying, then it can't, because he doesn't have his own Shaktis. He's only working with Maya. It means that Ishwar is under Maya's control and follows the action of an upadi, right? So being Ishwara, they're taking it as an upadi rather than, no, that's his position, right? Like the moon reflected in water moves when the water moves. What more can be said? So that's their thing, is that they're only taking the reflection in the water and saying that, see, it's moving by the water. So the water controls the movement of the moon in the water. But it doesn't control the moon. But as we said before, is that unless it has a form, how do you reflect and get this? Unless it has qualities, how do you get qualities here? Like that. If one accepts Ishwar to be Maya, though his Swarup as the Supreme Lord is famous in Shrutis and Puranas, one goes to unspeakable hells because of such blasphemy. Ambhuvad agrahanat tu na tatatvam. There is no similarity because one does not see distance between the Lord and the Jiva, as one sees distance between the sun and water to cause the reflection. Brahma Sutra 3.2.19. Right, because, you know, like this, for the Lord, there's no time and space. He's not controlled by that. Because the Lord can be there in the Jiva. So then how do you get the Jiva if the Lord can be inside? Or if the Jiva is part and parcel of the Lord, then how do you get space? You know, where do you get the space to reflect your hand, you know, on yourself, because it's already there? Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Even Shankara, in his commentary on this sutra, admits that this sutra refutes the idea of reflection. Instead, similarly to a reflection established, vriddhi harasha bhaktvam antar bhavad ubhaya samanjasyad evam. The comparison with the sun is accepted in the sense that it illustrates the nature of greatness of the Lord and dependence of the Jiva. Since this is included in the scriptural conclusions and harmonizes the elements of the comparison, Brahma Sutra 3.2.20. Right, so like the sun, because the reflection just doesn't work. But the sun and the sun rays, that works. Right? You know what I'm saying? Because there's moon, and then there's the water, you're getting the reflection. But the point is if Brahman's all-pervading, you know, as Prabhu was pointing out the other day, how do you get reflection? There's no space. You can't get a reflection. You know, and you see is that you can't get a reflection, but just for discussion, sometimes then Jiva Goswami will say, okay, even if we accept this point, but then reflection means you're getting a form, that means there has to be a form that it's reflected from. So it doesn't work on either level. It's not that it works on one and not the other. It doesn't work on either. You know? So that's the thing, when they say one and it doesn't work, they'll say the other that doesn't work. like that. So, thus, literal reflection is shown to be false. Abhasha means falsity, as in abhasha eva cha. There is a logical fallacy in equating the avatars with the jivas. Brahma Sutra 2.3.48. And abhasha means it is similar to a reflection, but not a reflection. This means that the consciousness of jivas are different from Brahman, since their being reflections is false. Right? Because if you're reflected, that means you're reflecting the consciousness of Brahman. What you're saying here is, no, they're separate from Brahman. They're conscious, but they're part and parcel. So there's that. Therefore, only difference and non-difference can explain it. Netaro nupapattehe. The jiva is not the subject of the mantra, because that is impossible by the context. Brahma Sutra 1.1.16. Vyapare satcha bedaha. The subject of the mantra is not the jiva because of statements indicating the opposite. Brahma Sutra 1.1.17. These two sutras indicate that explaining jiva to be an imaginary duality is wrong. The duality is real. Satapo tapyata satapas tattva idam sarvam ashrijata yad idam kim cha. He performed penance, and having done penance, created all this. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.6.2. Raso vai saha rasam ye vayam labdvan andi bhavati. The Lord is rasa. Attaining this rasa, the jiva attains bliss. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.6.2. One should not mutilate the statements on this subject. The Lord performed austerity. He revealed knowledge in the form of "Let there be many." Nanyo tosti drashta. There is no other seer. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3.7.23. This forbids any seer beyond the Lord, as was understood previously. Right, so there's no one seeing, because otherwise, and he's saying it's one jiva, that has to be the Lord. The Lord is the one who sees. You can't have anyone else. But does that make sense? So we, being part and parcel of the Lord, in context of Him, then we see. Otherwise, then we are in illusion. Sa karanam karana dipadipo na chasya kaschid janita na chadivaha. He is the cause and the ruler of the senses. He has no father or ruler. Svetasatara Upanishad 6.9. This statement forbids any doer or creator of the universe by glancing at property except the Lord. This is mentioned in Shankara's commentary also. Glancing means that water and fire under the control of the Lord by his thoughts. Nanyo to sti drashta forbids any other seer, since that is the subject of discussion in the text, right? So what he was pointing was is, the text is not talking about the jivas being the seer. They're talking about the Supreme. Right? By the qualities, you can tell that it's there. Right? Because we see as the jiva, he's in ignorance. So he's not actually seeing. The Lord sees. So only when the jiva brings his seeing in line with the Lord, then he can also see. But that doesn't mean now he becomes the Lord. The Lord remains the Lord. Like that. His glancing is independent. Tad aikshata. He glanced. Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.3. Vivakshita guno papatescha. Manomaya refers to Brahman because of other qualities in the passage which refer to Brahman. Brahma Sutra 1.2.2. So that means now the Purushas, they're also coming from Brahman. Right? Anupapates tu na sharidaha. Manomaya does not refer to the jiva because the qualities mentioned cannot refer to the jiva, who is like a glowworm. Brahma Sutra 1.2.3. These sutras show that the Supreme Lord is superior to the jiva, since he is the Supreme Truth. He is endowed with all good qualities which are not present in the jiva. Right? So when you say the Manomaya Purush, it's the Lord. So it's not up for discussion. It's not like if it's us, then we can discuss. Someone has it. No, these positions are fixed by the Lord. So then the Manomaya, then what is there? Well, what is the process and all that? That's defined by the Lord. He is religion. So, yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.